James Baldwin and Stokely Carmichael first met during the heady days of the movement to desegregate the South. Carmichael was a young activist and a member of a student group at Howard University called the Nonviolent Action Group, NAG, which sought to combat racism and segregation in Washington, D.C., and in the surrounding areas of Virginia and Maryland. NAG offered a snapshot of the civil rights movement's future. Carmichael's fellow students in the group included Cortland Cox, Michael Thelwell, Muriel Tillinghast, and Ruth Brown, all of whom would go on to be influential leaders in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. On Howard's campus, NAG sponsored a series of programs called Project Awareness, which was designed to explore the full complexity and richness of Black life and to engage the controversies surrounding the Black freedom movement. It was through these programs that James Baldwin was invited to campus. During the spring semester of 1963, after the violent response directed at the movement in Birmingham, the group organized a symposium about the role and responsibility of the Black writer in the civil rights struggle. They invited Baldwin, playwright Lorraine Hansberry, novelists John O. Killings and Ralph Ellison, and actor and playwright Ozzie Davis. Ellison sent his regrets, and Hansberry was too ill to attend, but students packed the auditorium. Baldwin had just finished a speaking tour on behalf of the Congress for Racial Equality Corps, and this audience was hungry to hear him speak. Malcolm X, in town by happenstance, dropped in to hear Jimmy hold forth. "Whenever I hear that this little brother is going to speak in any town where I am," he said, "I always make a point of going to listen because I learn something." Baldwin didn't disappoint. He was a captivating speaker with a powerful, almost hypnotic cadence. If the desire to be a preacher had long ago left him, his ability to hold a crowd in his hand had not. It is the responsibility of the Negro writer to excavate the real history of this country, to tell us what really happened to get us where we are now, he boldly declared from the stage at Howard. We must tell the truth till we can no longer bear it. After the symposium ended, Baldwin, Killens, and Davis joined a group of students in the small, cramped apartment of a few NAG members. The hour was late. Jimmy needed a glass of Johnny Walker Black, but the liquor stores were closed. Someone knew a bootlegger. The impromptu rap session went on until sunrise. Our older brothers reasoned with us like family, Carmichael, who would become known as Kwame Ture, later recalled, even though he confused the date of the panel and the subsequent events. We had 3 years of struggle behind us, he said. So was the March on Washington and Dr. King's dream. John F. Kennedy had recently been gunned down. The national mood was sore, tense, and uncertain, as was our mood. Everyone understood the burden the students carried on their shoulders. Despite their relative youth, they had already confronted the brutality of the South in an effort to desegregate lunch counters and to register Black people to vote. Many had been beaten and chased down dusty roads in Mississippi and Alabama by the Klan and by white sheriffs. These students were the shock troops of the civil rights movement, and many suffered from the trauma induced by a region and a country reluctant to change. Pessimism and rage threatened to overwhelm them. Baldwin worried about the young men and women like an older brother who did not know exactly how to protect them from the dangers he already glimpsed ahead. For him, the brutality of Bull Connor's dogs and fire hoses in Birmingham had already foreshadowed what was to come, revealing a depth to the country's depravity that no single piece of legislation could cure. As the meeting wound down, Baldwin was left to say the final words, and he brought the conversation full circle to the reason why the students had invited him to campus. "Well, here we are, my young brothers and sisters. Here's how matters stand. I, Jimmy Baldwin, as a Black writer, must in some way represent you. Now, you didn't elect me, and I didn't ask for it, but here we are." All eyes were fixed on him. "Everything I write will in some way reflect on you. So what do we do? I'll make you a pledge. If you will promise your elder brother that you will never, ever accept any of the many derogatory, degrading, and reductive definitions that this society has ready for you, then I, Jimmy Baldwin, promise you I shall never betray you." It was an avowal of love and a declaration of his responsibility as a writer dedicated to speaking the truth.